It's the Local Beat with O'Brien, brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers on East Broad Street in Elyria, a trusted name in jewelry. And as we do each and every Wednesday here on the WEOL Morning Show, we go to the hotline and welcome in Dave O'Brien from the Chronicle Telegram. Dave, how are we doing today?
We're good, Rocco. Thank you.
Good to hear, Dave. Good to hear. Always nice to hear your lovely voice here on this Wednesday morning. And, you know, a familiar face back at the Lorain County Department of Job and Family Services. You actually had the write-up on this, I believe, in Tuesday morning's Chronicle Telegram. What can you tell me about this situation, Dave? What happened here, and why is this a big deal?
Well, that's correct, Rocco. And basically what happened here is that Lorain County Commissioners, pending final approval, which is expected at their meeting this morning, have brought back Barbara Tamas as the director of Lorain County Job and Family Services. That department lost Tamas back in January after she was replaced by Tim Carrion. Carrion lasted about eight months or so before he was himself fired. And for the past about 2 months, there's been an interim director or other people running the show, and Barbara Tamas was brought back. So that was confirmed by Commissioners Matt Lundy and Dave Moore. Now, David Moore has said, even though, she has been brought back, he will not be voting to approve her hiring officially after this morning's meeting. And Commissioner Lundy said he was glad to have Barbara Tamas back, and said that he slept very well while she was running things at JFS previously. She spent about 3 years from about December 2017 until January of this year, running that department, one of the larger departments with an awful lot of employees there in Lorain County. Couldn't reach Commissioner Michelle Hung, so I don't know how she's going to vote today, but we shall see. And Tamas should be making in the mid-$130,000s of dollars as her annual salary.
All right. Well, we will certainly keep an eye on that. Wouldn't it be the first time this year that we've seen the commissioner split on something? So we will see how that kind of works out later here this morning. Thank you for the update there, Dave. The other story I wanted to talk about here with you this morning, and this is a story, again, we see this common amongst a number of school districts, not just here in Ohio, but across these United States as well. We've got more parents split on mask mandates, this time over in the Amherst School District. What's happening here?
This seems to be a little less divisive. Even though Amherst Board of Education President Ron Nakabozi said that emotions were running very high, it seemed like everybody was generally pretty respectful of each other's opinions. And this was at the meeting at Steele High School on Monday night. Basically, there were parents and members of the community who were going back and forth saying, I trust masks. I trust the CDC and Lorain County Public Health directives to wear them. Amherst schools currently have a 3% rule in place, and that masks will be required in any school building where 3% of students are out due to COVID COVID-19 in a given week. And there have already been more than 100 cases among students in this current school year. One parent, Dan Starrett, said by the time COVID's documented in 3% of students, it's too late. And he said Amherst shouldn't be aiming for minimum requirements. They should be aiming to, quote, be the best. And then also there were several folks who stood up. Debbie Balmert, who's the grandmother of four Amherst students, said masks shouldn't be required. She said that she, quote, believes in God and that he gave parents a gift of intuition and discernment, unquote. So there was also some other folks who said that basically you should follow the golden rule. That's basically what the Bible says. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And there are others who just said they trusted science, that they had worked in COVID-19 intensive care units, that they had held the hands of people who were dying on ventilators while they were intubated. So it's a variety of opinions and experiences that are going back and forth during this discussion. As it stands, Avon Lake, Clearview, Lorain, Oberlin, Sheffield Lake, Elyria, and North Ridgeville schools have some kind of day-to-day mask requirement in place.
Okay.
Lorain County JVS also has that. And Lake Ridge Academy, the private Lake Ridge Academy in Ridgeville, and St. Joseph's School, also private in Amherst, have some form of mask requirement.
Yeah, and I have a feeling we'll see that become more and more and more common as we get closer and closer to the winter months here, Dave. And thank you for the update there in Amherst. And hey, you know, you kind of went through the arguments there, and clearly there continues to be two different sides in schools of thought with this whole mask mandate thing. But like you said, at least with the Amherst schools, it wasn't as divisive as we've seen with some other districts around the country. You know, we see YouTube videos pop up every day about the yelling matches at some of these school board meetings. So good to see some civility over there with the Amherst schools. So Dave O'Brien, our guest here on the Local Beat, brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers on East Broad Street in Elyria, a trusted name in jewelry. Dave, what are you and your colleagues over there at the Chronicle-Telegram working on this week as far as upcoming stories go?
Well, there was some scary stuff overnight on the north side of Elyria, up in the Gulf Road and Hilliard Road areas, up there between Gulf Road and Abbey Road North. There was a homicide. Fortunately, police have made an arrest. And then also a body was found, though there's no foul play suspected in that situation. But that was over by the Northwood campus of the Elyria schools. And that caused some concern among parents and also among school staff. And you'll see a report on that in this morning's paper. Also, there were some of the identities, again, and another sad story, the identities of some of the victims of a crash on State Route 57 the other day were released. Mm. And we had reached out to the family members of those folks who passed. So not a lot of great, not a lot of upbeat stuff, but unfortunately, sometimes the news is just the news.
Yeah, you said it best. Sometimes that's just the way it is. And so make sure you pick up a copy of the Chronicle-Telegram or check out the latest over at ChronicleT.com for that digital e-edition. All right, Dave, that brings us to the end here. And for my favorite part of the week, what do you have for me in the way of a scanner story?
Well, a little more lighthearted from our Western Bureau, again, from my buddy Mitchell Byers out in Boulder, Colorado. Hashtag scanner for the win. Man put a butter knife on the counter and then tried to steal a bunch of items. He still has the butter knife. He's wearing a hotel bathrobe and a Halloween pajama pants. They have recovered all of the items he tried to steal.
Wait. So I have to backtrack. So he put the butter knife on the counter and then just tried to steal a bunch of other stuff, like using the butter knife as like the intimidating factor? Is that what he was getting at here?
That appears to be the case.
Oh, man. He grabbed the wrong knife there. Oh, swinging a miss there from the robber. Well, Dave, thank you for the entertaining scanner story. As always, we appreciate it, and thank you for the insight into what's going on around Lorain County. Again, check out Dave's work and all of his colleagues' work over there at the Chronicle-Telegram. Pick up a copy today or go online, chronicleT.com. Dave, thanks again for your time, man. I appreciate it as always. Have a great rest of the week, and we'll catch up some more next week.
Sounds good, Rocco. Talk to you later.